And then I was talking to Joe one day. You know, I walked into his office. I was like, Joe, it looks like I might not make the trip to Africa. And Joe was like, if you're not going, then I'm not going. I was like, okay, this is going to be hard. And I talked to a few people, and I said, you know, it looked like we might not make the trip. I might not make the trip because of just so many things that has happened. And then, you know, God started talking to me. He was like, you know, I'm greater than anything that you can actually go through. And then I said, I'm going to make the trip. And Brother Tim came to our house one day, and I was talking to him, and he said, you know, he's going to come to the Faith Promise Committee for the Church of Living Hope and see what they can actually do. And so a significant amount of my trip actually came from the Faith Promise here for Church of Living Hope. And with so many things that actually happened, it is very evident, it's very obvious that the devil didn't want us to make the trip because of the so many lives that were touched. There's a lot of things. I mean, there's no way we can capture everything that actually happened in the trip. It was so powerful. There were so many lives that were touched. I mean, you heard from Tim, people in prison, somebody who is in jail. He's actually getting discipled right now by Pastor Joseph Mumba. When he got out, he was like, you know, he called Pastor Mumba. I said, I want to be discipled. I want to be helped. And so it was a blessing for us to actually get to see that even before we left for the United States. And thank you so much for your prayers. And I'm sure you know, you heard, you know, Hope. It was quite a trip. And I talked to her and said, you know, maybe you can write a book about it, about the whole thing and the whole, just, it was just one crazy thing after the other. We got into the airplane and then we hear, you know, and I'm thinking that everybody actually made it on the airplane. And then we hear, you know, the intercom, somebody in the intercom, they're saying, we want to talk to Joel, and they butchered his last name. What do you call it? Faus? Yeah, I was wrong. So we want to talk to Joe Faus, and was like, that doesn't sound African. That's probably Joe Foss. And then somebody came to him, and I was like sitting, and I'm, you know, seeing Joe, and he's sitting right up there, and I'm seeing them, they're discussing. You know, one of the people can't get on the plane. I'm like, who is that? And we haven't even begun the trip. And then, you know, I talked to Joe, and Joe said, it's Hope, and I was like, oh my. But for some reason, it was just weird, though. Even though in the midst of all that, for some reason, I knew that Hope would make it to Africa. But it's just funny because I didn't know how long. I didn't know if it was going to be another year before she makes it or another couple of days. But I just knew that she was going to make it to Africa. And I started praying. I was like, you know, she worked hard to make this trip. And I was just praying in my heart that she would make it. And there was just that calm assurance that came and said that she will actually make it. It might not be the time that I'm thinking, but she will actually make it. And thank God she made it. We were waiting at the airport. And people were just like, oh, who are these people? That, you know, because everybody was excited as we, you know, when we actually knew that she made it. Actually, before she got on the plane in Johannesburg, she was told that she doesn't have a ticket. And we're like, okay. And so Joe and I and Pastor Mumba, we had to run to the airport, check with South African Airline, and they said, yeah, she doesn't have a ticket because the ticket was voided. But what they were looking at, the old itinerary when she couldn't make it on the first flight. They didn't see when, you know, if they just went down, they could have seen that the ticket was reissued. And so we had to buy another ticket while she's in Johannesburg so that she can make the flight for that evening. And so, and then we learned that she has two tickets. She had an extra ticket. And so Joe is trying to get the money back for the other ticket. But wow, it was such an ordeal for her, but she was such a blessing. And you can see why the devil didn't want us, you know, her to go there in the first place, because she was a blessing and everybody else was a blessing. And everything that actually happened, I just thank God for so many things that are taking place and particularly, you know, this church, just the mission-minded and the mission heart that this church has for not only Africa, for Mexico, but for the rest of the world. Because it is the heart of God. You know, it is the heart of God for us to actually go on the missions for. Because God has, you know, Jesus Christ said, go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel. So I'm so excited that this church is at the forefront of actually what God is doing. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you for sending us to Zambia. We worked at the school, and as you can see in the pictures, we had so much fun. There's a lot of people that actually, part of the team did VBS for the children, 2 days, and we got to buy them food so they can have a meal. And so we got them Coca-Colas. And of course, you know, it's you know, here in the United States, it's kind of weird because they don't want kids to actually drink. But there, they don't actually drink it, so that was a treat. Because probably some of those kids probably never had a Coke until then, or probably they had it maybe once in a while. And so we got to feed the kids. So it was such a wonderful, wonderful time. I'm going to speak about something this morning, and I hope that you open your heart. And as I just usually most of the time before I get to preach, I actually preach to myself. You know, and so if God rebukes me, if God, you know, so I get to get rebuked, or maybe God just punishing me, not punishing me, but whatever you might call it, before I get to preach. And so this is one of the messages, and I preached it in Africa, and Joe said, I give you permission to preach it again. I was like, okay, this is weird. Because when God gave me the message, of course, it was for that specific reason. But, you know, I might think it is for that specific reason or for that specific time when I preached it. But that's not how God thinks. And so I get to preach it again. And this time without somebody, without an interpreter. You know, when you're there, you preach with an interpreter. It's kind of a little bit different. And usually sermons are longer with an interpreter because you preach it twice. So that's about 3 hours instead of 1.5. But the sermon wasn't that long, though. It was short. But it was something that God had put in my heart. It's from the book of John, chapter 5. I'm going to read the scripture real quick. John chapter 5, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the ship gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having 5 porches, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time, or at a certain season, into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be well? The sick man answered and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Father, we come before your presence this morning. We open our hearts that speak to us in your own special way. The Lord, whatever you have to say, that we take it. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your spirit that is in this place. We welcome you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just give you a little bit of background. Jesus Christ was coming from Samaria, and then he came through Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. And that's why when we read the scripture, it says, after this, then there was a feast of the Jews. And so Jesus Christ, coming from the situation, he's coming up to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that he goes up to this pool that was there in Jerusalem, having five porches. And this was a very special pool. And the Bible says that every person that was sick and lame in that area went to the pool. Because at the time, the angel of the Lord came down and stirred the water. And everybody that jumped into the pool was made well. And so Jesus Christ goes to this pool. And the Bible says that there was a certain man who was at the pool for a long time. He had an infirmity. The Bible doesn't say what he had. He just said that this man was sick. And along with other sick people, those that were lame, those that were blind, was at the pool, waiting for the stirring of the water. And Jesus Christ walked up to the man, and he knew that this man had been in this situation for a long time, asked the question, do you want to get well? Now, if it was me, I don't know about you. If it was me, I've been in this situation for 38 years, and somebody comes up to me and say, do you want to be well? If it was me, I was going to say, are you kidding me? Do you know how long I've been in this situation? Do you even know where I come from? Do you actually even know who actually brought me to this pool? Do you actually even know my situation for you to actually ask me, do you want to be well? You got to be kidding me. I've been sitting here waiting for the water to be stirred. I've been sitting here in this situation waiting for the stirring of the water. And who are you to come and ask me, do you want to be well? I've tried everything. And I've seen people jump into the pool in front of me. And maybe he would even say, you know, one day I was actually close to the pool, very close to the pool. And I knew the time that the angel would come and stir the water. And just right there, somebody jumped in. So how can he actually ask me that you want to be well? How can he ask me? How dare you? The man said, I don't have a man. Apparently, everybody that came to the pool, maybe had somebody that brought them to the pool. So they were waiting at the pool for the stirring of the water. And maybe they had some people that helped them out. Said, I don't have any man. I don't have anybody to help me into the pool. I've been sitting here all alone without a man to help me into the pool. And all these years, I've sat. All these years, I've waited. And every season that the angel of the Lord comes down to stir the water, and I'm thinking in my mind, this is it. Maybe this time, I'll be able to get into the pool. And then somebody comes, jumps in front of me. And Jesus Christ said, rise, take your bed, and walk. I know we might be maybe in different type of situations where we sat by the pool, whether it's in our spiritual lives, and we're waiting for the stirring of the water. And maybe we sat in this situation. So maybe somebody had promised us that they're going to do something in our lives and they're going to help us and never came through. And so we're sitting, we are waiting by the pool for the sign of the stirring of the water. We are waiting that somebody would come and push us in the pool. We are waiting that somebody is going to come and take us to the next level. We've been praying so hard. Maybe we've been sitting there by the pool and thinking that, hey, finally, maybe this brother is going to help me in. Or this sister is going to help me in. Or maybe when I get this next job, then that's it. I'll be well. Somebody's going to help me in. And so we've been sitting by the pool, waiting for God, or waiting for the angel, or waiting for the stirring of the water. And nothing comes through. Well, I have good news. We don't need man. Amen. Come on. We don't need man. Maybe we've been sitting there waiting for man, waiting for somebody to help us into the pool. We don't need man. All we need is Jesus. Amen. That's all we need. We need Jesus. We need his touch. We're sitting by the pool, waiting for the sign. Jesus Christ is walking by and said, do you want to be well? And the very first thing that Jesus Christ did, he didn't go to the man and say, you know what? I'm going to help you. I'm going to push you into the water. Because we are out there waiting for a sign, standing in line for something to happen. Standing in line for the miracle. Waiting by the pool. But all we need is Jesus. Because when Jesus shows up, he doesn't push us in the pool. And when Jesus shows up, he doesn't show up in a certain season. That's what the Bible says. In a certain season, the angel came down to stir the water. It was a season. It wasn't even every day. You don't even know when the season the angel is going to come. And so you are there waiting. But Jesus Christ did not wait for the season. To make the matters worse, it was the Sabbath. You're not even supposed to do anything. And Jesus Christ looked up to the man and said, you don't need a man. All you need is the man of Jesus. Rise up, take up your bed, and walk. And the man did. Took up his bed and walked. And if you think that the world out there is going to be rejoicing because you, who was sitting 38 years in infirmity, who was sitting by the pool without anybody helping, you, if they see you walk around, that the miracles happened, that they're going to rejoice and say, woohoo, praise the Lord, you're healed. If that's what you think again. Because people saw the man that was healed by Jesus. He's walking around with his bed. And the first thing they said, he is walking on the Sabbath with a bed in his hand. He's breaking the law. So what the Bible says? That we defeated the devil by the word of our testimony. He was carrying his testimony around and saying, can you see me? I can walk because this man called Jesus Christ, he told me to rise and walk. He has his testimony in his hand. And he's walking in the temple and everybody's like freaking out. It's the Sabbath. You don't have to do that. So why are you carrying your bed? They're not even rejoicing that this guy has been there for a long time. Wow. That's the world that we are living in. That's the world we're living in. Not even rejoicing that something has happened. That something miraculous has happened. Somebody has been healed that had an infirmity for 38 years. And they're concerned about carrying a bed on Sunday or the Sabbath. And they came to the man and say, hey, who actually told you to take up your bed? The man said, I don't know. I don't know this guy. All I know is that he said, take up your bed and walk. And I did. What kind of a situation are we in? We don't need any man. All we need is Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said, it's finished. And the Bible says that in the temple, the veil was torn apart so we can walk into the Holy of Holies and approach God the Father without actually going through any man, without going through the high priest of those days or whatever the situation is. We can walk into the Holy of Holies and see the glory of God. So we don't need any man because the man of Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross for us when he said, it is finished. So why are we sitting by the pool thinking that the government is going to come to our aid? Why are we sitting by the pool thinking that man is going to come to our aid? Why? We are sitting there thinking that the situation is going to change. We are thinking that somebody's company is going to come to our aid. And we're watching for the signs. The only problem is that the people that are found at the pool are sick, lame, and can't walk. And we are by the pool waiting that those people that are sick, the world that is sick, that is going to help us out. Where they are sitting by the pool. You know what? I can just imagine being at the pool maybe with everybody there sick, lame, blind. What kind of stories do you talk about? You talk about the stories about things that are hurting in the body. Oh, my left knee just gave out. I can't do this. Oh, my, me, poor me. We've been in this situation for a long time. Nobody actually even come and see us anymore. They did that about 5 years ago. There's these young people that used to come and sing or whatever the situation is. I can imagine that there were probably even young people there. But whatever the situation is, if you find yourself on the pool, there's nothing that you can actually do. And so at the pool, we're going to talk about things that are hurting. Things that are not right. About the world, about the economy, about everything that is going around. And so we get affected by the numbers. We look at the numbers or look at the economy. We are sitting by the pool, paralyzed by the things of the world, looking for a man. Looking for the president. for the governor, for the mayor, to take us out of the situation. We don't need a man. We don't need a man. I can tell you that there was times when there was no man. When I felt all alone. When I felt paralyzed. When I felt the world is coming crushing on me. When there's no hope. My back is against the wall. There's no way out. And I know that the world is going to kill me. When Jesus Christ walked through the closed doors and says, "Peace be unto you." You don't need the world. All you need is the person of Jesus Christ. Because when I come in, things happen. So I'm in the corner. Thinking, poor me. Jesus Christ comes in and says, "Take up your bed and walk." Take up your bed and walk. Because I've paid the price. You don't have to sit by the pool. And I can tell you that I did sit by the pool a long time. Coming from the situation that I came in, very poor, extremely poor, no running water. There were so many things against me. Sitting by the pool, thinking I can't come out of this situation. This is impossible. I need a miracle. And waiting by the pool for the stirring of the water. And the seasons didn't come soon enough. Because I was sitting there. It just felt so long. Helpless. Jesus comes and says, "Take up your bed." But you see, we have to make a decision, because Jesus Christ said, you know, can you just imagine, this is the first thing, you know, this is what Jesus Christ tells the guy. He says, "Do you want to be made well?" Because it is the decision that we have to make. And we have to understand that sometimes, you know, somebody brought us to the pool. Because this guy, at a certain time, had somebody that actually brought him to the pool. How did he get there? Somebody did. But I can tell you that man will bring us as far as the pool. Man will bring us as far as the pool. That's it. And if we are expecting more, especially in these times, when everything seems crazy, when the economy is going south, when the world is living in fear, this is the time to rise and take our bed and walk. This is the time to tell the world that Jesus Christ has performed a miracle in our lives and we are walking. That God has healed us. That Jesus Christ has delivered us from everything. Everything. Not just one thing, but everything. And we are walking boldly with a testimony in our hands. That this is the bed that I was laying on. Can you see my life? It was a mess. Here it is. But God has performed the miracle. I'm not walking in this anymore, but I'm walking in righteousness and faithfulness to God. Rise up and walk. Take up your bed. Rise and walk. Take up your bed. I'm going to read a scripture in Isaiah. I love this scripture. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to start reading from 28. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall run faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When we wait upon the Lord, when we wait upon him, the Bible says that he shall mount us as wings, as we shall soar as eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We are not going to be sitting by the pool. We are not going to be sitting there waiting that man is going to come and help us out. But we are waiting on the Lord. Our strength is in him. We are waiting on the Lord. The Bible says that we shall run and not be tired. We shall walk and not be tired. Because God is with us. He says, it is time for us to rise up, take up the bed, and walk. I don't know what kind of a situation you're in. I don't know what kind of a situation it is. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it is a spiritual situation. Maybe you had people that helped you and brought you all the way to the pool. And you feel helpless. I don't know what your situation is. But I can tell you that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is mighty. When he paid the price, when he died on the cross and said it is finished, it is finished. And the veil was torn apart. You can walk in the presence of God. You don't need a man. You don't need anybody. All you need is Jesus. I'm going to ask Brother Randy, the worship team. If you're here this morning, and you've been in a situation that you feel paralyzed, whatever the situation is, and you feel that there's nothing that you can actually do, you feel helpless, you feel that there's no way out, you're sitting by the pool, waiting for the stirring of the water. I want to tell you that you don't have to stand in line. Because Jesus has paid it all. And the most powerful thing and the most powerful comforter that God has given us is the Holy Spirit. Because it says, you shall receive power after the Spirit of God has come. You don't have to wait for the stirring of the water. Because you have the water, which is the Spirit of God, moving from everlasting to everlasting. You don't have to wait for the stirring of the water. If you're here this morning and you have been waiting for the stirring of the water, and maybe you have been disappointed by man, the biggest thing that we can actually do is to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That Jesus Christ has paid the price. And whatever the situation that you're going through, whether you are sick in the body, this morning, I want to offer a special prayer. And maybe you're stuck. I want to pray for you this morning. The only thing that you can do is humble yourself and realize that, yes, I'm in the mud. I've tried everything. I've tried everything. And I've waited for the stirring of the water. I want to get into the pool. I want to be made well. If you're there, if that's you, I want to ask you right now, would everybody stand to your feet? If that's you, if that's you, the altar is open. And I want to offer a special prayer. I want to offer a special prayer. If that's you, come to the front. And tell God that I've been stuck in the mud. And I've waited for man. I've waited for somebody to help me out, and I feel helpless, and I'm waiting for the stirring of the water, waiting for the stirring of the water. And I've been waiting for long. And you want to say, Lord, I want to walk again.
Yes, Lord.
I want to walk again. I want to walk again.
Yes, Lord.
I want to be made well. I want to be made well. I'm tired of living in this situation.
Yes, Lord.
I'm tired of living in this situation. I want to walk again. If that's you, come to the front. Come to the front. It is a sign of surrender. It is a sign of saying, yes, Lord, I'm serious. Because life is a serious business. We can't joke around. We can't joke around. Life is a serious business. Lord, I want to walk again.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear.
Worship Him.
Come and cleanse Jesus, me. Come forgive me. Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now. Lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there.
Jesus. Lord Jesus. When you died on the cross, you said, it's finished. It is paid off. It is paid. It is paid. When He said it's finished, it's so that we can walk again. So that we can walk again. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that whatever the situation, that the people that are in the front, you know their hearts. You know their hearts. You know their hearts. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that whatever the situation is, you have paid the price. You have paid the price. Touch them, Lord, in your special way. Touch them, Lord, in your special way. The Spirit of the Living God. And I pray for a special anointing, Lord, and in the name of Jesus for their lives. And I pray, Lord, that you shall break every chain, Lord, and everything that hinders them from walking in the name of Jesus. And I pray that your Spirit, Lord, will touch them in a mighty and special way. That we shall feel your presence, that we shall walk in wholeness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I pray for those that are sick right now, this morning. That you shall touch their body. You shall touch their body. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that your Spirit, Lord, will touch, will comfort us. In Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus, that we shall walk again, that we shall walk again, that we shall walk again, that we shall be made whole by from every situation, from every infirmity. Lord, I pray that we shall made whole. We shall be made whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
To the river I am going.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me. Come forgive me. Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. And I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Come and join us in the river. Come find life beyond compare. He is calling, he is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. He is calling, he is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. So take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, I'm ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. So take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now and lead me closer.
Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord. Lord, I need to meet you.
Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How great is our Lord? How big is our God? Totally sufficient. With men it's impossible, but with our God all things are possible. I met a man called Jesus. He said, so not the man, but the Jesus that we serve. I just challenge you to let Him be enlarged in your life. Let Him be enlarged in your life. He's a big God. Totally sufficient. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. So we expect those miracles. It's here. Brother James, thank you for obeying the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for touching lives here today, for reaching out. Brother Jason has said that as he's going, you tell him, brother, you need some help, right?
Tell it.
Amen. Well, of course, we'll be gone. The whole good majority of us will be gone next week, and just want to encourage all those who can and are available for next Saturday. Dave Gray will kind of be heading up. We'll be heading up the team of Adopt a Block next Saturday, and we'll be a little short-handed. So if you can in any way, please come out and support the rest of the team that will be here and that will be going out next Saturday. You'll be blessed, I promise you, and you'll be a blessing, amen. So if you can come out and give a hand and knock on some doors and pray with some folks, if you can pray, then you can come on out and help out, amen. Thank you.
And Wednesday night we'll have the Dinner of Hope here at 6, and we need help there too, and food. God is really bringing about people to come in and fellowship with us and hear the gospel message and stay for activities and prayer. And so if you want to see energy at work, well, come out on Wednesday night. We're working alive in this place. Kids, youth, God is moving in a special way. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing at Church of Living Hope. Amen. Well, stretch your hand this way. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His grace be upon you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Go in the name of the Lord and find a hurt and heal it. Find a need and meet it. Go and be hope to those around you who need so desperately what you have. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today. Amen. God bless you.